And welcome back to the Roundtable on WAMC. It's 9:14. It's a Thursday morning, and it's the Roundtable panel. Our panel today is a good one. I'll tell you about who's on the panel once we have everybody in the room. But right now, I'll tell you that you can join the conversation by emailing us at panel@wamc.org. That's the email address, panel@wamc.org. We do ask that you keep it one to a customer per day. Make a good, brief point. Send it our way. Don't include links. Don't use abbreviations. Proofread will be great. And panel@wamc.org. Now, let's introduce the panel. She was here earlier this week, political consultant Libby Post. Welcome back.
Thank you, Ray.
And how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am okay.
Fair to Midland?
Yeah, just about the same.
Okay.
He's working very hard today. Let me just give you an example of what he's doing. He's going to do this show, right?
Right.
Uh-huh. He's going to do Midday Magazine because Brian's out today, right?
Oh, just for a little while. Yeah.
Then he's going to do the Vox Pop.
Yeah.
2 o'clock.
So it's all good. It's all good.
And you're going to do Vox Pop at 2 o'clock.
That's all. Oh, you're recovering well from your vacation then.
Is there a fourth one?
No, that's it. Okay. Unless you'd like to add a fourth one, sir. You're in charge. Also here today is a chair of the communications department at the College of St. Rose, Kaylin Brown. You've been here, this is your second time this week as well.
It is. Good morning.
Were you here yesterday?
I was here. It was so long ago. So much news has happened.
And she was on the media project, too.
Oh, and how did the media project go?
Well, I don't know. They're all against me.
Okay. Sounds like it was a good day.
Very
common cause.
Also here today is Siena College Professor of Comparative Politics, Vera Icarius-Kelly, and welcome back.
Well, thank you.
And a wonderful comparative politics person. We are so lucky to have her expertise.
Mm-hmm. Every time you're on,
yes.
I make it a point to find my Barron's German CDs and put them in the car, and I never get past the first one.
Really? Because you just can't figure out how to repeat the first sentence?
I can't. Once I put them in,
you're fascinated.
But I mean, there's some of these things. You know, like who says how much do the matches cost? Really?
Well, it's a little outdated, likely.
Yeah.
You know,
where is the embassy? That's a good one.
Well, yes. So it's all about learning how to survive as an American when you get in trouble in the former Eastern German territories? Is that what the CD was about?
If I got past disc one, I could tell you.
did they rename Karl Marx Platz?
Of course.
They did?
Of course.
Because I stayed there as soon as the wall came
down.
Was
it in 1989?
As soon as the wall came down, yeah.
Wow.
That
was a while ago.
It was. I'm old.
Yeah, it's been renamed.
Yeah, what do they call it now?
I have no idea.
Willy Brandt Square.
And the final member, but last but certainly not least, America's pal Alan Chartok is here today. And welcome back, sir. And the media project went well, so you're ready for today.
I'm always
okay. All right, good. The pleasantries have been dispensed with. Republican New York Congressman Chris Collins says he'll remain on the ballot running for re-election in New York as he fights charges that he used inside information about a biotechnology company to make illicit stock trades. At a press conference in New York yesterday, federal prosecutors said Collins gave an illegal tip that allowed his son and others to avoid hundreds of thousands of dollars in biotech stock losses. Last night, Collins held a press conference of his own, said the charges are meritless, and he said he looks forward to being exonerated. He earlier pleaded not guilty, says he is staying in the race.
A couple of things here. Number one, I heard on one news broadcast, is the largest stockholder in that company.
14%.
That's right. The New York Times reported that as well.
Yeah, so that's huge. Secondly, he's taken a bath, personally. Because of that stock, he has taken a bath. The question here is, did he tip off the members of his future family because the son is not yet married to the fiance, and it's her parents
and the son who has
sold all of that stock and gotten that out the window. And finally, I would say, for those people that understand what insider trading is, and it's hard because I believe, truly, that a good deal of what goes on in the stock market is insider trading. You know, a rumor, a tip, somebody says something to somebody else, is that this is what Martha Stewart went to jail for.
That's right.
Correct.
Yeah,
correct.
You know,
exactly.
So,
but, I mean, there's obviously clear evidence that he engaged in insider trading. It's not just rumors and innuendo. He got an email from the Australian president of the company, right? So it's obviously
on the White
direct
House
information on the White House lawn, no less.
And he received that email and then immediately contacted his son.
Tried seven times.
I thought it was six, but okay. You're
right,
within 5 minutes.
You're always accurate.
Within 5 minutes. No, I'm not. and then when he notified his son, within a short time after that, the son sold his stock and benefited substantially, hundreds of thousands of dollars, I believe, according to the news reports. And then it was the day after that the company officially announced that multiple sclerosis medicine had a failed drug test.
But the order in which that
information happened was unfair because the public did not know that information. So that is absolutely insider training, a violation of the law.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So his son and the fiancé's father also pleaded not guilty in the case.
Right.
Well, you know, I mean, the nuance, the social nuances of this stuff. We saw Adam Skelos, remember the son of the senator getting his
father. How could we forget?
His father into terrible trouble because the father said, he got on the stand and said, hey, this is my son.
Right. I'm trying to do what's right for my son.
So but the jury didn't buy it. But as you know, it only takes one person on the jury to say, you know what, he was just trying to help his son and help in the thing. So, but each of us, see, this is a tough thing to say out there. If you're listening, get it, which is the temptation must be extraordinary. When you say, I can save my son, I can save his family, he's going to get married, they're going to hate us, they're going to this, that. It must be extraordinary pressure. And one of the interesting things is who gets prosecuted. It is the Martha Stewarts, and it is a guy like this. But who's doing the prosecuting? The prosecuting is being done by the Republican who was individually screened when Preet Bharara was dismissed, who is by the president of the United States. Mm-hmm. So how are you going to call that a witch hunt? Well, on the other hand, you called everything else a witch hunt. Mueller's a witch hunt. Right. He's a Republican. Rosenstein is a Republican.
It's the individual, then, the individual enemy that is identified
by
Trump,
on this piece of paper the list of communists in the State Department. What I found particularly disturbing about this is, let's not forget, Chris Collins is a very rich, white male. Okay, he pleaded not guilty on Wednesday and was released on the promise he would produce a $500,000 bond within 2 weeks. What man of color who's brought in on a simple drug charge ever gets that kind of cachet and is allowed to come back in 2 weeks with his $2,500 bond?
With his cachet.
Right.
I mean, they don't.
Really, they
and
don't.
You're absolutely
right,
Libby. And a person like Collins, who's an elected representative, should be held to a higher level of accountability.
And here's what's interesting when you talk about accountability. He's going to win. unless he resigns.
Except for there is the concern of, an ethical question about him serving on the Energy and Commerce Committee.
Well, he's been booted
out. He's been booted. Yeah. But still, the idea that somebody like that, who owns personal stock in a company like that in Australia that works on specific drug development, and then he sits on committees in the House that makes decisions
about
healthcare companies.
But you need to look at the district.
Yes, of course.
Okay. It's
extraordinarily conservative.
It's very conservative. I've done a lot of work up in that area over the last few years. It's not about forgiving. They just believe him, and they believe Trump. He's our guy. He's standing up for us.
And remember, he's the first Trump supporter
in Congress. You know, I mean, Chris Collins was county executive for two cycles. He lost, actually, accidentally, Mark Poloncarz won there because of some people were getting a little sick of Collins and he did some stupid stuff. But his congressional seat, he knocked Kathy Hochul out of that seat. And he's been reelected a couple times. And they love him.
And let's remember the tricky Nixon himself. We knew about Watergate by the time he ran the second
time. Right.
And he won anyway.
That's right.
So I just wanted to say, in general, I believe that there will be a slight change, even though the 27th district is very conservative, as you all know. There are a lot of voters, and especially those that are a little more independently thinking and assessing the situation, that will say, you know what, that really is a little over the top here with, you know, personally benefiting from the potential information he has on a private stock and then making healthcare decisions. So, I mean, this is not in the public's interest.
So, Vera, it's interesting because Congress, unlike the New York state legislature, mm-hmm. you can go earn all the money you want on the outside yeah. because you're a state legislator, but you can't in Congress. It's against the law. But it is not against the law to do what he's done. In other words, that be invested into a company and to make money. So if you want to see how tricky these congressmen are, they leave loopholes where they can continue to make money despite the fact that because everybody knows who and what they are, and they are the lowest. They rate lower than newspaper people.
But, you know.
Do you see that? Did you see how he did that?
Yeah, I saw it.
So, actually, you're pointing out that it's not illegal for Collins to have owned stock.
No.
I just don't want that to be the last word on it. It is illegal to participate in insider training.
Oh, absolutely.
And also, because you picked on journalism, even though the Media Project is not recording right now, I'd like to point out that the individuals in the western part of the state where the 27th district is, I hope, are paying attention to the journalism out there, because there is a chance that if they read the facts about this case, it might sway their voting decisions.
Okay, so I happen to do something I don't always do. I agree with Vera.
Shocking.
Can you repeat
that, Alan?
I agree with you. I think that the results of this election are not going to be what Chris Collins would ordinarily get. He's mm-hmm. going to get fewer. But then again, you have to remember, this is not going to be an ordinary year. There are going to be an awful lot of people who vote against Republicans.
Yes.
We just
mm-hmm.
saw it in Ohio,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
That's number one. And number two, of course, this can't help them.
No, but the guy who's running against him, and I can't remember
yeah,
his
he's
name.
A no name.
Right. He doesn't have a lot of money.
That's WHO-HE question mark.
Yeah, he doesn't have a lot of money. He doesn't have a from what I can see, a really good ground game going. So we'll have to see whether or not, you know, he'll benefit from this. But the other interesting part of this is that this whole stock thing, the innate stock, it's mm-hmm. also what helped to bring down Tom Price when he was Health and Human Services Secretary.
Yes, it was.
Here's a dot for you.
Okay.
And Cuomo, of course, when he got into trouble over whether or not Hochul was going to be a millstone around his neck
mm-hmm. right.
because she
mm-hmm.
comes from upstate, because mm-hmm. there's an immutable law written, it's an invisible ink on the tablets, which is
right.
you can't win a primary unless you're a Democratic primary, unless you are from the five boroughs. You see, I mean, that's one of the problems they had. So Cuomo, in his usual magnitude, announces that she should go back and run against Collins.
Yeah, right.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Now the question.
She declined.
The question is.
Could she have
could
won?
She, but can she go and do that now?
First of all, she won't, and second of all, she probably couldn't win.
The Democratic nominee in that district is a person named Nate McMurray, town supervisor of Grand Island.
Right.
He has about $80,000 in his campaign funds, according to the New York Times.
Good old Nate.
But one of the Democratic Party leaders in that district said that people have been contacting them from all over the country to help now.
Good.
So it makes perfect mm-hmm. sense that the Collins debacle now is creating the opportunity for this McMurray to
yes.
maybe gain some traction. We've seen that happen with other candidates and other political movements.
The commercials will be, you know, Chris Collins pleading not guilty, Chris yeah. Collins in cuffs.
Yeah.
I mean, it'll be very,
entertaining.
Alan's raising his hand.
Yeah, it's
that?
Amazing.
That's Horshack.
Right.
The
Moorish. Yes.
Yeah.
Welcome back, Carter.
Absolutely.
And you sort
because
of look
this
like
morning,
him.
Oh, my gosh. That is
nice.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Watch it. Watch it. Watch it.
Oh, this is a good
okay.
day
All
in
right.
radio
All
land.
Right. You know what?
This is a totally
let's
good
everybody just take a deep
okay,
breath.
Okay, we got to take a break
okay.
now.
Okay.
But
really
can I
quickly
say something about the financial issues? Now, coming back to what we started with, there are at least five other representatives in Congress, I believe, that were not tipped off on the stock. I wonder how they feel.
I interviewed Zephyr Teachout, and her opponents for Attorney General this morning, mm-hmm. I heard her on the Capital Connection, are saying she gets too much out-of-state money. But she pointed out she has more donors in New York, but everybody is under $200.
Okay. Hmm. Well, we'll have to take a break here. And I think everyone needs just ramp it down a little bit.
Really? We're lively.
I feel like a substitute teacher.
Do
I
you
really
need
do.
More coffee this morning?
Unruly women.
I'm very worried about what Caitlin will say. She's been blackmailing.
All right, now here's the thing. Everyone, silence. We're going to take a break. It's the roundtable. It's the roundtable panel. Vera Akurius-Kelly, Alan Shartok, irascible as ever. Caitlin Brown is here, Libby Post, and you at home. Panel at WAMC.org. Mike Bowen, get us out of here for a moment. Welcome back to the Roundtable on WAMC. Thursday morning, 9:34. Ray is in for Joe, and it's the Roundtable panel today. Vera Akurius-Kelly is here. Caitlin Brown, Libby Post, and Alan Shartok, you as well. And the email address is panel at WAMC.org. We have regained some sense of normalcy here on the program. I thought we would read some letters.
Did I ever tell you that I have a first cousin? No, a first named Dr. Hyman Shartok, who wrote a book called The Road to Normalcy?
Indeed.
I've told you that.
Yeah. Ad nauseum.
He was very old.
Indeed.
He still is, I think.
How's the book?
He hasn't read it.
I read the title. But it was the only book we had, and I used to run to my mother and say, hey, Mom, what's this thing? The Road to Normalcy. So that when he called me 40 years later, on the phone, saying, are you the same guy? He said, my name is Hyman Shartok. I said, The Road to Normalcy? I thought he was going to faint. Anyway, Jill writes to us, why is it illegal? Hi, panel.
Hi.
I'm not, in capital letters, a fan of Chris Collins. But have I missed something here? Why is what Collins did illegal? The druggist company tells him that the drug he backed failed QC. He gets out, sells his stock. He tells his son to get. First of all, he did not get out because he knew it was illegal. He did not get out. He did not. He took a bath. And he tells his son to get out. Why was this illegal? Was the drug company also wrong for alerting Collins that the drug failed? It's like somebody calling you up to tell you your house is on fire, and you go and tell your son to get out. Okay, maybe that analogy is a much more serious scenario, but I think you're feeling me. You're feeling me. So if possible, please explain.
So first of all, that fire analogy has no basis in reality as a comparative.
It's not against the law.
Collins owns this stock. He has insider information. He gets the insider information that the main drug that this company is expecting to make money off of has failed its drug test. That is an indication the stock value is going to go down. In an effort to save as much money as he can, he cannot sell his own stock for a very important reason. He's already under investigation by the Ethics Commission, so he can't sell his stock because he's afraid of what that might mean. He tells his son, who also has stock, time to dump the stock. We don't know exactly what he said, but immediately the son dumped the stock.
But I think
that's insider information because all of the other shareholders are not aware of this information.
That's exactly the issue.
Shareholders don't get that information till after the Collins family has saved itself hundreds of thousands of dollars.
So you and I could be also owning stock in that company, and we would not be privileged to know this information.
Right.
So that's what makes it illegal, because you and I, just like Collins, are equal stockholders. We have the right to the same information. So if you have privileged access to information and then personally benefit from it or allow your family to benefit, that is called insider trading, and that makes it
illegal.
But,
Professor, there's one more thing here.
Yes.
It's not only the people who own the stock. It's the people who don't own the stock who might want to buy the stock.
Exactly.
Well,
that would be reverse.
That would be reverse if you got positive information ahead of
the whole
market.
Idea here is, as we have heard from Caitlin, she's exactly right, is that the public has to know at the same time everybody else, the insiders.
And that's because of the United States Securities and Exchange Commission. There are regulations governing publicly held companies. It speaks to why Elon Musk would like to go private with Tesla so that he might not have to be beholden to the Securities Exchange Commission and all those shareholders.
Public trading for a reason.
Right.
It's called public for a reason. Yeah.
Okay,
exactly.
So that's from Jill. Thank you, Jill. Oh, there was one other question she had here, which is, was the drug company also wrong to tell him that
he's on the board.
He's on the board.
And he's the largest stockholder. So I would say that's not illegal. And plus, the company is in Australia, I believe, but publicly traded in the United States.
Right. We have to, it may not be illegal, but was it ethical?
Well, that's a different story.
Right.
Okay, so Gina says, Collins, Faso link and why it matters. Don't worry, Alan, it's not an internet link. But the link between Collins and Faso matters. The charges hit close to home in that Collins and Faso partnered to draft an amendment to Trump Care that greatly reduced the ability of New York residents to deduct state and local taxes from their federal. It says F-E-D, capital N-E-R-A-L.
But he's meant federal.
Well, I don't know what he meant. I can only read what he wrote.
Okay. Let's infer federal there.
Federal income tax returns. They are not looking out for us. And that's from Gina. Okay.
That listener is exactly right. That is a public official who is thinking of himself and his family and not the public.
And the slime will be affecting those that work closely with Collins.
We hope. All these people seem to have Teflon in their blood, let alone surrounding their skin. So
okay,
we'll
Zach
see.
Says, Chris Collins, Vera is spot on.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, yeah. It is patently absurd that members of Congress are even allowed to serve on corporate boards in the first place. I actually agreed with you about that. Remember that?
Yeah, it's a credit. Super good point.
Congress frequently deals with health care matters, and he had a financial stake in pharmaceuticals? This is the swamp in action.
Correct.
And remember that Collins, I don't think we mentioned it again or often enough today, was the first congressman to support Trump.
Are there any regulations that keep elected officials off of company boards? I mean, it makes sense that there would be a regulation that would prohibit that.
But we're talking about the titans of the world.
Okay, and Elizabeth, very quickly, says, I believe that Martha Stewart went to jail for lying to the FBI, something Collins is also accused
of. Yes, that is correct.
Not insider trading. That is a very difficult charge to prove, but the lying is much easier. He will go away for lying, not insider trading, and that's from Elizabeth.
Yeah, it's possible. I mean, it's a very similar case, and she
was
accused of insider trading.
When the FBI comes to your house, don't lie to them.
Don't lie. Yeah. That is certainly a recommendation. When they come to your house...
You could go,
When they come to your house, they seem to apparently already have some information about you, so it's best to be truthful. Yeah,
the feds usually don't come unless they've got the goods.
Yes.
And Chuck says, why does the media seem to forget the national debt is at $21 trillion? Trump seems to be getting a pass on this. When Obama was president, Fox had almost daily ticker on the national debt.
Well, because apparently, you know, debt under Obama is something entirely different from debt under the Trump administration. It's quite crazy.
Well, we appreciate your letters. The email address is panel@wamc.org, panel@wamc.org. Speaking of investigators maybe having information and then coming to ask questions, lawyers for President Trump said they have responded to the latest interview proposal from special counsel Robert Mueller, part of a very long negotiation process over whether and how investigators can question the president on possible obstruction of justice in the Russian investigation. Now, speaking on a radio show yesterday, Trump lawyer Jay Sekulow again expressed reservations about an interview with Mueller, saying it would set a bad precedent to allow just unfettered questioning on that process.
But that's not true.
The decisions that are made here are all about the Constitution of the United States, said Sekulow.
No, well, that's not true. Bill Clinton, of course, had to. Other presidents have had to do it. So, but here's the one that's really getting me. The press is obediently, I hate to use this word, following along with the lie. And the lie is that Trump wants to testify and that his lawyers don't want him to testify. So the way that I'm seeing this is Trump says to the lawyers, because after all, he's the boss, you tell me that I shouldn't testify.
And
I will say I'm for testifying because they know the American people don't like the idea that he's not testifying.
Right.
And a high percentage of the American people know that the president is lying, though.
Say again?
A high percentage of the American people who hear what's said by Sekulow and or President Trump know that the president is lying.
That's right.
Suspect.
But still, but okay, Ray, we'll accept
some
your amendment for
it.
Now. But I think, Caitlin, the point here is that the press, your press and mine, is obediently going along with the idea that the president wants to testify, but his lawyers don't want to.
Well, that's news reporting. The analysis is a different story. There will be analysis pieces. There have been analysis pieces pointing all this stuff out. But when it's news, when it's the facts, those are the facts.
Libby, nobody has more respect for you than I do.
Yeah, but.
No.
I do.
Here comes the shoe. It's dropping now.
Yeah. No, but it's a lie to
it
go.
It's a lie.
It's a lie to report on. If you say, and I know that Caitlin often tells her journalism students to do this, you're safe if you say says. In other words, you can say.
Actually said, not says.
Present tense, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Or past tense. If you say the president says that or said that his people won't let him testify, but he wants to. Now, that's a lie, along with the other 4,000 lies, I think.
If the president says it, the media has an obligation to decide whether or not to report it. In this instance, if the media chooses to report that, they think there's value in reporting what the president said.
Well, the fact is, Trump said he is willing to be questioned.
That's
his
right.
lawyers, however, have been far more hesitant.
Yes.
And that
so
much we
makes
can state
Trump,
as fact.
No, we cannot
state
that as fact. I take great exception to what you've said
But going back to Alan's point, it's a shell game.
It is.
And it makes Trump look like
better.
He's one of the people better. I'm not above the law.
I want to testify.
Right.
And that's because they poll. And they
that's
know
right.
the American people
right.
don't
that's
want
right.
this to happen.
Don't
that's
forget cool. Rudy Giuliani, our fabulous quasi-lawyer who
oh
always
God,
is on the shows.
The
and he messes things up regularly.
But it
so
is interesting.
For me, that's the most interesting part of the entire performance art that we see here.
Well, the other thing, Vera, very good point, is that when Rudy is of such dubious quality that they bring out the other lawyer who's been playing the background all along.
Yes, because they need to do a cleanup action after Rudy.
You have to wonder what has happened to Rudy Giuliani.
Oh, it's, please.
I mean, just from a human interest point of view.
Dr. Freud says character is set by the time you are 4 years old, and that's it.
Okay. Well,
so don't tell me what has happened to him.
You think
well,
he's
gotten
like that?
A little more extreme. I
oh
agree with you. You know, he's moved to the far right.
Well, it depends who the client is. This is a guy who adores being in the public eye.
Yes, he does.
Clearly.
So therefore, if this is what this particular situation demands, mm-hmm. that's what he does.
All right, so he said this last night. Let's see if the panel agrees with this statement. He said on Fox last night, Mueller knows the answers to every question that he wants to ask Trump. And Giuliani speculated the special counsel wants to trap him into perjury.
Sure.
Isn't that not a fair statement?
No.
It's not.
Just don't lie, damn it.
Right.
Don't lie.
That he's going to perjure himself.
Yeah.
That's not at all. The attorneys are there to defend him,
why
right?
Is it
if
so cold
Libby
in here?
Post has an attorney, the Libby Post attorney might say, look, they're going to try to trap you. It's a common way to get somebody. It's how they got Manafort.
I don't know. When somebody publicly says they're going to try to trick them into perjuring themselves, it means that lawyer who said that knows that
he's going to lie.
He is going
to
lie.
Your client is unreliable,
reliable.
And you don't want
right.
that person to speak to
that's
anybody
right.
who can think.
Which, by the way.
I mean, remember, it wasn't collusion. Now collusion isn't a crime.
Which, by the way, is why lawyers don't like to put their people
on the stand
in regular trials, because the prosecution always then gets a chance to ask embarrassing questions.
Right.
The special counsel, just to point out, though, is seeking the truth. If the result is that they trap someone in perjury, it's important to remember what the special counsel is seeking is the factual, accurate truth.
Right. But not according to Trump.
Right,
according
because
to Trump,
he's the arbiter of truth, like Hitler was the arbiter of truth.
Earlier in the day, Giuliani said millions of pages of documents have been provided to Mueller along with testimony from dozens of witnesses. We're restating what we've been saying for months. It's time for the Office of Special Counsel to conclude its inquiry without further delay.
Yeah, well, they have been saying that for quite some
time. Good luck,
Charlie. Good luck, yeah.
Have at it.
Good luck.
The problem is the Brett Kavanaugh Supreme Court nomination and confirmation. And if he gets on before this is all concluded and they end up really subpoenaing him, Kavanaugh, I guess, has a history of saying the executive is immune.
I think Ryan got caught in that one, giving a speech the other day, confiding, of course, not knowing that everybody has a cell phone with a record device,
yeah, right.
You know, like... on it, which says if we get involved in impeachment, then that will take precedent. Oh, impeachment of Rosenstein.
Right.
And that will take precedence over getting this guy appointed to the Supreme Court. We don't have that.
All right.
Interesting.
The email address here is panel@wamc.org. panel@wamc.org. If you're just scoring at home, the panel is Libby Post, Vera Icarius-Kelly, Kaylin Brown, and Alan Chartok. We'll be right back. Hello again. It's the roundtable panel. It's 10 minutes before 10 o'clock. Everybody is chatting. The lights are on and the mics are open. It's whatever. It's a Thursday morning. Ray is in for Joe, and frankly, the natives are restless here on the panel. Vera Curious Kelly is here, Libby Post, and Kaylin Brown, as well as Alan Chartok. Alan wasn't even in the room. I mean, I blame Vera and Kaylin and Libby for just breaking into a discussion group here on the program.
Well, you know, we needed to catch up on some things.
We're having a consciousness-raising experience.
Is that what? Is
yes.
it like
this
a drum
is a
circle?
CR, this is an old CR group, all the feminists in the room, and you know, you were watching.
Consciousness-raising?
Yes.
Terrific. Well,
is that term still being used?
Occasionally.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
All right, so we'll break out the peyote in the second half of the panel here. It's now 10
it's
minutes.
It's not that kind of consciousness-raising.
Oh, I gotcha. The email address is panel@wamc.org, and Alan is now back in his chair, and you can read some letters.
Geraldine says, on the subject of Chris Collins.
Okay.
Hi, panel. I am sick and tired of rich guys breaking the law and getting away with it. I can't wait to hear that Trump is being charged with tax evasion, money laundering, and fraud. The little guy is expected to make do and carry the tax burden and just deal with it. Chris Collins' behavior, temptation or not, should be prosecuted to the full extent of the law, and he should be thrown out of office.
You know, I'm not a big stockholder, believe it or not, in radio. That's, most of us aren't.
Yeah.
But I wonder what the ethics are of having big stockholders on the board. In other words, okay, this is a politician. This one came out. How many times does this happen in the real world where the board finds out something horrendous and dumps stock?
I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, I happen to think that a good deal of what we call free stock trading is based on tips. Now, many of those tips are wrong, but some of them are right. Somebody put some rumor out there that it's going to happen. And I think that one of the reasons you get Martha Stewart and Collins being investigated by the Internal Revenue or whoever does that kind of stuff is because they are so famous that it's a warning to everybody else not to do it. Don't you think? But in fact, every time it's income tax time, some major case comes up where somebody's being prosecuted for doing
it. Well, it might be coming, but it is wrong, and I agree with
The letter writer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And James says, Collins, as someone who moved from Buffalo to Troy, I am aware of the weasel that Collins is. When he was Erie County executive, he eliminated funding for the arts. As Libby said, he lost to Poloncarz for doing stupid stuff. He very well could lose again. Go McMurray. McMurray's the other candidate.
Yep.
Okay. And Jim in Montgomery is checking in today for a change. Regarding Collins' actions, while what Collins allegedly did was illegal, I will point out that even Elon Musk's revelation on Twitter that he might go private has also raised some hackles, with some wondering whether this statement on social media was an appropriate outlet for revealing such information instead of more traditional outlets for company disclosures. Well, Jim in Montgomery, there's another way of looking at that. Damned if you do, damned if you don't. So if he tells everybody up front, then we hold him accountable for, you know, manipulating stock or whatever he's doing. And if he doesn't tell him and it's insider, then it's a different story. So You see what I mean?
Well, the listener is actually accurate about the timing on the Musk announcement, because when Musk went on Twitter and said that he was considering taking the Tesla company private again, he said that on Twitter prior to the official release to shareholders.
Yeah.
And that could be, according to reports, could possibly be a violation of U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission regulations. That's unknown yet. But and what was said by shareholder rights groups was that the company can't expect that everyone's watching what Musk is going to say on Twitter. So it's not de rigueur yet. That's the problem.
I like it when you do Latin. Thank you.
I thought that was French.
Yeah, right?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't do it right.
That,
oh, yeah.
too.
Sorry.
I know it's not German.
Oh, good. You learned something from those tapes.
Yes. I know how much the matches cost.
That is funny. Monel says, election interference by Russians. We all feel secure that come election day, we will be able to go out to our usual polling place and cast an honest vote. And there will not be armed Russian soldiers standing guard there. It would really be nice if someone would tell us in detail what this interference consists of. What exactly are the Russians doing? You know, that's a good letter. And I have to tell you, we have been told time and time again by the insiders in the intelligence community that this is happening. But it would be great if they could just give us a couple of examples of what they did. I think one of the accusations is that they're trying to create as much dissonance in the social media as possible. That creates chaos, and that's good. But the accusation is that they tried to help Trump. So it'd be great to know what exactly were they saying, because I keep looking for that.
You mean the bots and the...
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, you're not going to see that because your profile doesn't match.
But somebody
profiles.
Will see it, and somebody will report it to the press, for example.
Maybe if they... I never saw any of that stuff because my profile's really clear that I'm a Democrat, and that's how they go through your profiles and look at what your interests are. And if your interests are, you know, guns, right wing, politics, whatever those things are, those are the people who got targeted.
Yeah.
And they did it. They can do it right down to zip codes, and they can also do it by purchasing email addresses from organizations, dumping those email addresses into Facebook, and that's how you target those ads.
That's good, Libby. It really
but
is.
And another thing is also very interesting that intelligence services always remind us they would like to not disclose specifically what Russian IT people and the military arm of the Russians, the Dancing Bear and Cozy Bear, are involved in, because that's the way to catch them. Mm-hmm. They are still involved in some of those activities, and believe it or don't believe it, but that's what the intelligence services are saying. They would like to continue to follow those kinds of links to identify who specifically is messing with IT databases and where exactly in the Kremlin that leads. I mean, they have a lot of information, and that's why we have indictments against certain Russians. We become aware, because of the Mueller probe, of some of the things that have been happening.
You know, Vera Karis Kelly, one of the reasons I love having you on the show is because you're a professor of of comparative politics. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering, do you keep an eye on whether or not the same, I know there's been accusations of this kind, but that the same thing is going on in other countries as it is here?
Yes, exactly. The German, the Dutch intelligence services have reported the exact same activities. We know that Russian intelligence has been involved in Ukraine and also in Poland. So the similar methods are being traced across. And we also know regarding the Brexit question, we have patterns that have emerged, and intelligence services in Europe have seen very similar patterns from the Russian military intelligence arm in Europe as in the United States. So we do have that parallel.
Okay, Trump testifying, says Steve. him saying he wants to testify, but lawyers won't let him, remind me of in a bar fight, my fists are up, and I'm hoping someone will hold me back.
All right, we have to take a break. That's funny. That's very funny.
That's my technique.
I've seen you do it. The email address here is panel@wamc.org. Alan Chartok is here. Vera Karius-Kelly and Kaylin Brown, as well as Libby Post. You again at panel@wamc.org. We'll take a break and get some news, and we'll be back. We're getting down, getting funky here on the roundtable. It's 10:06. I think that's Billy Cobham with the bumper music here. Very nice pick there, Mike Bowen, the engineer. It's the roundtable panel, and gosh, what a panel today. They never stop, even in the breaks. Vera Karius-Kelly's here, Libby Post, Kaylin Brown, and Alan Chartok. And, of course, you can join the fun by emailing a brief letter to panel@wamc.org. And, Alan, you have some.
Well, first of all, I want to thank our listener, Janice, who says, Alan, that was Nunez, not Ryan. He said a lot of stuff that was caught on recording at that fundraiser. Yeah, thank you for that, Janice. I always like to have those kinds of corrections. And Joan said, Collins Faso or Faso Collins Amendment. Good morning, panel. I was trying to remember why I knew about Representative Collins from Buffalo is because of the Faso Collins or Faso Collins Amendment to the Affordable Health Care Act, also called the Buffalo Bribe, in quotes, by which those two self-serving congressmen tried to generate.
This is our daily break.
That's right. He has.
Let me tell you.
My God, he doesn't know. He has a big phone. No, he doesn't know what
has to do with his exercise regimen,
yes,
I think.
Right. It's not my walk.
Check, please.
So that's what happened. Okay,
okay, so how much did you map?
All right, okay. And I was out doing my, you know, my hour this morning, and I forgot to turn it off when I got done. And so it just interfered.
Yeah, that's okay.
Okay, is it?
Well, you signed the checks.
Also called the Buffalo Bribe, by which those two self-serving congressmen tried to generate support for Trump's plan to dismantle Obamacare and the Medicaid expansion, which was part of it, by sticking the state with the Medicaid costs normally paid by the counties. Fortunately, it didn't pass, and that's Joan from Old Chatham.
The slime is rising.
Leora says, panel comment, I am not a Trump supporter, but comparing him to Hitler discredits you and is an incredibly disrespectful to Jews. That's from Leora to something that Libby said. Libby, you were the president of your shul, weren't you?
Yes, I was.
Yeah, thank you very much for that.
And I don't feel insulted at all. I think we're repeating history here, folks, and we have to own up to it.
Okay. And Martin says, Kavanaugh is the worst. He spent years doggedly investigating Clinton for non-existent crimes and conspiracies and then suddenly decided that president shouldn't be subject to investigation after he worked for a Republican president. If confirmed, he will no doubt side with Trump on any issue relative to the special counsel probe, which has not existed for even half the time of the Clinton probe. Republican hypocrisy is appalling. Okay, so I'm getting a little nervous about Martin because at the bottom he has one of these confidential things that the lawyers always say. This is what I just wrote you to the radio show is confidential. Okay,
Too late.
Okay, Peter says, by the way, folks, if you don't want it read on the air, don't send it to us and put it at the bottom. By the way, don't read my letter on the air because by that time it's too late.
Right.
All right.
Make a point.
Okay, and Peter says, Mueller, Trump's team shape shifting reminds me of the old lawyer's joke, dog bite defense. My dog didn't bite your dog. Two, my dog was out of town on the day your dog was bitten. Three, I don't have a dog. That's good. Fred says, Kavanaugh. Good morning. Rachel Maddow broke news last night. Ree Nunez attending a fundraiser on Washington for Representative Kathy Morris Rogers, McMorris Rogers. The recording has them plotting impeachment timing of Rosenstein as it will apply to Supreme Court nomination for their audience as well as rationale to why. And that's from Fred. And Barbara says, I pulled over on the Northway tech stop to type this. It is imperative that the media report Trump says or said that he is willing to testify. Thank you, Barbara. My point exactly.
Barbara?
Is it is wrong and an irresponsible report Trump wants to testify.
Yes.
That's what I've been saying all along.
I agree with that.
You know, the attribution to Trump provides the critical difference between being accurate and being sucked into their good guy, bad guy ploy. Yeah, I agree with Alan.
And that attribution is what separates journalism from all the postulating that goes, or the posturing that goes on mm-hmm. by people who are just blathering with no attention to detail and fact.
Let me just say, I don't want to identify because we don't read last names
right.
Here, who this is, but I'll give you a hint. It's somebody who was on the media project with us this morning.
No way.
Oh, no way.
Okay. All right. Okay. So Eric says, Congress corruption. Good morning, panel. The story about Chris Collins should surprise no one. I would guess at least 75% of our lawmakers on their spouses' families are in similar situations. Unfortunately, most Americans don't care because the media won't continue to follow the story. We'll move on to daily tweets, the Supreme Court, or some social cause of the moment. If there was in-depth, consistent reporting on corruption in Congress, people would begin to pay attention. Even better, if some members of Congress were held accountable, maybe people in Congress would change their behavior. Oh, yeah, that can't happen. Congress gets to make the rules, and they will never, in capital letters, make rules that stifle their ability to get rich. And that's from Eric. Okay, there you go. And then the last one I have here is from Michael. Collins' congressional cronies. Collins has been overheard boasting about all the millionaires he's created with his tips. Can't wait for the release of records of sales by other congressional reps prior to the public announcement of the failed trials. And that's Mike from Clifton Park.
They, yeah, well, I suspect he did not disclose to his congressional buddies, so I think they might not like him very much
anymore.
Well, no,
last night, if you watched mm-hmm. The Thing, he was talking about all the millionaires he had made.
But this time, they took a hit.
Yeah.
He may have made millionaires out of them.
Yeah.
I mean, it's quite likely.
I actually stayed up to watch that. Can you imagine being the fly on the wall for that one?
Yeah.
Because he was supposed to go on at 6 o'clock, hours later, and CNN kept saying, we're waiting.
Right, I watched it too. It was like 2 hours later,
A couple of hours later, they got him. You can be sure that they were working on that statement, luring it up as best they could.
As well they should.
He gave us his resume, his life's resume, didn't he?
Instead
of saying anything, it was fascinating.
He was doing the best he could. You know, the lawyers are probably saying, you go on, you do this, you win re-election, and if we have to trade later on and quit later on,
that
could be an incentive. Mm-hmm.
Now, if he does quit,
yes.
Say, let's just say, some newspaper, it might have been The Times, said, The 27th district has now gone from a solidly Republican to a likely Republican, even with this news.
He's going to win.
So he will probably win, or let's just say he does. He's in, second term, then is convicted. Who makes the interim pick? Is that Governor Cuomo?
Yes.
What happens
then? There has to be a special election.
Cuomo would make, I'm pretty sure Cuomo would make an appointment so that those people don't go without representation, just like Kirsten Gillibrand was appointed to the U.S. Senate seat.
So then I wonder if there was some...
And then had to run. And so then...
He says a special election.
Then there would be either a special or they'd have to run the next November and then run again. If it's off cycle and an odd year, they'd have to run again in the even year.
Sounds reasonable.
I then wonder if there is some pressure from the higher-ups in the GOP to say, look, bail now before the election. It is a strong Republican district. Get anybody in there now.
Right. That
because
is
what they
exactly
would do
right.
is the committee to fill vacancies would appoint a candidate to run. And it could be somebody like Chris Jacobs, who is a state senator from Buffalo, who's a former county clerk and part of the Republican Party. There's a number of possibilities.
Hey, if you got married, you know that name.
Huh?
You said former county clerk.
Yeah, former county clerk.
So, all right.
All right, the email address here is panel@wamc.org. And a couple of more, and then we'll take care of some Russian poisoning.
Okay, cringeworthy. Given that Trump and those who serve him appear almost exclusively on Fox, quote-unquote news, whenever you wish to quote what they said, as you did Rudy Giuliani this morning, you are forced to acknowledge that network. Yes, do so. Although for this listener, it conjures revulsion at what has become of the nation's political discourse. What a healthier democracy we'd have if there had never been such a powerful right-wing propaganda agency as that which made political career possible for Donald Trump and has blatantly slandered Hillary Clinton for the past 18 years. Love the show. Dale from Rosendale.
Yay,
hey, what are the possibilities that a guy named Dale from Rosendale would call you up?
Do you know that Dale is a guy? you're making a gender assumption based
D-A-L-E?
On an, based on an androgynous name.
Oh.
Dale, write back quick.
Right. Let us know.
I know we're not allowed to take a second letter, but
just let us know. I'm looking.
Unless invited. Good morning. Your political bias is close showing. You spend so much time commenting on any problem that the Republicans may have. Trump, now Congressman Collins, rushed to guilty trial or no, yet Democrats get a pass. What about the problems involving the governor? Oh, I've never talked about the problems about the governor and the slime that's around him and the abolition of the Moreland Act Commission and all of that. I've never done that,
no.
Not more than once a day. Okay, please.
Okay.
Close associates under investigation are found guilty at trial? Question mark. What about Congressman Maloney running for both Congress and Attorney General? Oh, I've never talked okay. about that, not more than once a day. How about a little bit more balance? And Robert from West Sand Lake. Robert, give me a call. We'll duke this out on the phone, okay?
Right. Deep breath.
Okay, deep breath then. Ray says, the jobless numbers and food stamps. Why, if President claims this is the best economic time ever under his stewardship, low unemployment numbers and America is great again, are 140 million Americans on food stamps or on some other similar assistance? Well, Ray writes a very good letter and an important letter, and here's why. Because if you're going to take people's constitutional rights away from them because they once had food stamps, you better believe that those are going to be mostly Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And that's the president who thinks you need an ID to buy groceries.
Exactly.
Right.
Well, the U.S. is imposing new sanctions on Russia for illegally using a chemical weapon in an attempted assassination of a former spy and his daughter in Britain earlier this year. The State Department said yesterday the U.S. made the determination this week that Russia had used the Novichok nerve agent to poison Sergei Skripal and his daughter Yulia, and that sanctions would follow. It said Congress is being notified of the August 6th determination and that the sanctions would take effect on around August 22nd when the finding is to be published in the Federal Register. Those sanctions will include the presumed denial of export licenses for Russia to purchase many items with national security implications, according to a senior State Department official. And Vera, I know you're interested in this one.
Yeah, so, I mean, it might be interesting to think about this fact that what is happening is that we're continuing on Obama-era sanctions. These sanctions were not embraced by President Trump, but they were initiated by Congress. So what we're seeing is a small addition to the national security sanctions that we already saw were in place. A member of Congress reminded the administration, I think it was Ed Royce, said this was overdue. The administration then agreed to implement these additional sanctions. But what is really important is in a few months, there is a deadline looming. Once the Brits release their specific report on Novichok and how it entered the country or how it was used, and that is a nerve agent that only the Russians have had in their control, unless they sold it to terrorists, pressure will increase on Putin and Russia to either allow inspectors in to Russia to check whether Russia has effectively dismantled its chemical and biological weapons or not. This is an agreement from 1991, interestingly enough, when, of course, now Putin thinks this is when we're kicked down and now the West wants to go after us. So this is a big sticking point. Putin will not agree. This is leading to a very difficult late fall.
In March, we expelled 60 mm-hmm. presumed, or I think they had a pretty good presumption that they were spies. Mm-hmm. And at the time, I think that was the largest expulsion at any one particular
right.
time. And so Trump administration, it's funny, he pays rather, he speaks in platitudinous terms with Putin, but they've done some stuff.
Well, and not him.
His
not
administration
him.
Certainly
his administration
has.
Because there are agreements, international agreements that have to be followed. Trump, of course, has, you know, this interesting contradiction between his Helsinki performance and then these sanctions. I mean, this
exactly.
is the most fascinating thing. There are, of course, domestic, you know, uses for these sanctions. I'm quite sure Trump defenders will say, well, look how tough he is on Russia.
When he said it. He says yeah. it.
When he says himself.
And
when he has
when
nothing
he
to do with it.
Look. And, well, and his, well. Can I just... Can I just, please?
Oh, go ahead, and then I'll take a number.
No, I'm rude. Go ahead, Libby.
Well, I just want to make 2 points. One is, this kind of stuff is like so far up in the ether for people who are worried about where their next meal is coming from that, you know, not many people other than those of us who pay attention to this stuff and so you have that, and then you have this picture that's been circulating on Facebook from a Trump rally last week where these two guys had t-shirts on that said, "I'd rather be a Russian than a Democrat," which shows the loyalty that his base has, and they're willing to overlook treason to make sure that he stays in office and Democrats don't.
I think there's another fascinating aspect, and I think Vera has raised it with us. All along, there have been consistent talks about what is it that motivates Trump to be so laudatory of Putin? And, you know, we don't know what it is. We've heard stories about Russian investment and this kind of thing.
And tapes.
Trump has said no. But on the other hand, Trump is a liar, and we know that. So you don't really know what's going on. So you have this continuing bifurcation between what he does and what some of the people who are working for him do. But again, as in the case of the lawyers, it's hard to believe that the Pompeos and the guys like that aren't running this by Trump before. And Trump is saying, yeah, go ahead, sanction them. And I'll take the credit for that on Tuesday, and on Wednesday I'll talk about how I love Putin because I have to.
I mean, we don't know for sure.
No,
I think some of the developments we see now, they have basically been automatic because there are international agreements that you have to abide by, including this chemical and biological.
Who says he has to?
He doesn't care about those.
Yeah,
well,
he never has.
But his bureaucracy cares. And he's not the king. He's not the emperor of the United States quite yet. So he doesn't have decision-making over all facets.
Let me take respectful difference with you on this.
Surprise.
No, Vera knows so much more than I do about this stuff. But you know, it seems to me that he is just... not going to listen to what his people say to him. His people, they don't say what he wants them to, Vera, and he fires them.
Well, he hasn't fired anybody recently because he's in a bit of a pinch. And here is what's really going to be interesting is the Russians rely on oil and gas exports. Oh, yeah. And that is the most important aspect of the Russian economy. The Russian economy is struggling. And those people, Libby, that wear those fantastic t-shirts, "I'd rather be a Russian," they have no idea what life is like in Russia. And they actually don't know that right now we see hundreds of thousands of Russian protesting about social conditions, not only political issues, but social conditions in Russia. And just you wait till the clamp hits related to these sanctions. Putin is extremely concerned about domestic affairs. If he cannot buy off or afford to supplement the older population's incomes, which have been shrinking, then he has a serious domestic issue.
As, by
and
the way,
Putin
in, as
will
in
struggle.
This country. As,
right.
As in this
it's
country, too.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's so interesting.
I'm afraid that is where we will have to leave the discussion today. Yes, we're out of time, sadly.
This program should be an hour.
It's an hour and a half.
It's an hour and a half, honey.
No, see, that was a joke. The joke was that we always say at the end of the media project.
Oh, we never know if you're joking or if you're serious.
You know, isn't that the problem?
That is the problem.
Well, Vera Akarios-Kelly, thank you for being here today. Libby Post, thank you. Kaylin Brown, thank you. And Alan Chartok, thank you. And everyone who's listening, if you stay listening, you're going to hear some wonderful things, and they'll come your way after this brief announcement.